church on Tuesday night. Monday nights are good. Tuesday nights are better. That means you survived Monday night. So now you should get like a shirt or something that said, I survived the first night of revival. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Familiar passage again, especially for Bible believers. I know all of you have read your Bible through several times. You know probably every passage you have written in the margin of a bunch of messages that you've heard. One of the traps we fall into sometimes, even as preachers, is we want to, instead of preaching something we think a help, we want to preach something new. And because we want the other preachers to know that we didn't just preach something that's been preached before. But sometimes them things that's been preached before helps.
That's right. Yep.
Instead of the something new. I really do have as sincerely a goal as possible is to try to help you. I want to address something tonight that I think, generally speaking, Christians run into a problem with. And I hope and pray that it'll help you. Just because I'd hate to knock one of these things over. That's why I'm turning them things that way. To try to help you out. This, if you're here and you're lost, first of all, let me say you're an idiot.
Yeah, amen.
Because you're in a church and you could be saved right now instead of just sitting there. You could just go ahead and get saved and get it over with. You already know you need to be saved, or you wouldn't be sitting in a church on a Tuesday night. And the problem is that whatever's standing between you and getting saved, you happen to care more about that, and it's going to drag you to hell.
Right.
So you mean my drinking will take me to hell? You know, I know people that drink, and they're saved people. I didn't say your drinking will take you to hell. Your rejection of Jesus Christ will.
Yeah.
But because you don't want to just say, Lord, I want you, you're thinking I got to give up my drinking. Just come to Jesus first.
Come on. Preach. Yeah. Come on.
And let him help you with your problem.
Yeah, amen.
Yep. Amen.
Just not get clean first.
Yeah. Amen.
In spite of what a lot of independent Baptists try to teach you.
Yep.
You got to get all cleaned up to come to Jesus. No, you don't. No, you don't. Does the cleaning.
That's right. Amen.
You just come to him. What you see here is just saved sinners.
Yep.
You're here and you're lost. You're just among a bunch of people that, if but by the grace of God, they'd be in the same situation.
That's right.
Don't try to get as clean as them. I mean, you may do a whole lot less damage with your cigarettes, your chewing tobacco, and your liquor than they do with their tongue. I don't know. The old preacher's sitting here, and Brother Mike's been preaching a long time. Some of you other fellows are preachers in here. You could testify to the fact liquor and cigarettes done a whole lot less damage to the church than a gossiping tongue.
We don't preach as much on the gossiping tongue as we do liquor and cigarettes. That's right.
You say, why? Well, because you preach on liquor and cigarettes, you can just hit a few people. And, of course, everybody that don't have a problem with liquor and cigarettes think they're better than everybody that does. Now they got a problem with pride. How are we doing so far? Well, I'm better than you because I don't smoke and drink. Yeah, but you burn up that Facebook. You don't use your tongue, but you burn up that stuff. Tell all kind of lies on there, you know. So I don't tell lies. You got a picture posted of something that happened to you 10 years ago when you weighed 50 pounds less and you still had hair. Got your high school picture up there when you was running with some kind of a football team and you had a little bit of physique. Now all you got is a stinking keg. You ain't got no six pack.
You're right.
Thank you, Brother Mike. I think I've already upset him. But a lot of times what we do is we just keep doing what we've been doing instead of checking to see if what we're doing is right.
You're right.
And sometimes even in Christian work, we get busy doing things for God because we think, well, I'm not smoking and drinking and cussing and chewing. And we think that's the pinnacle of whatever Christianity might be. Because I'm not doing all these things, I've arrived. But let me ask you this question tonight. When was the last time that you went down and asked the Lord, am I doing what you want me to do?
That's good.
Am I doing it how you want me to do it?
Amen.
Because oftentimes, as we'll see in this passage in just a minute, we just keep on going. The axe head's done flung off. It's out there floating in the river. And all we're doing is just beating the bark off of trees and working up the sweat and wearing everybody out, wearing everything out, making a whole bunch of noise and not getting nothing done. But we're making so much racket with that axe handle. We can't hear God talking to us and saying, hey, you lost something along the way.
That's good.
Before long, you can swing that thing to the point and get so frustrated with a lack of results and things like that you get bitter about it, and then before long you're beating anything and everybody that gets around you.
Amen.
Take your Bible, just look, if you will, 2 Kings chapter 6, a few verses here, and then we'll try my best. I'll try not to be as long as I was last night. But I'm in Carolina, so I know y'all are really, y'all come to get in.
Yeah, amen.
And I know what's going to happen. When we're done preaching, you're going to sit around and talk, and you're going to tell coon hunting stories and deer stories, and you're going to drink coffee and then all that kind of stuff. So I figure we'll just preach the whole time and then we'll be too tired to talk. Second Kings chapter number 6, the sons of prophets said to Elisha, interesting fellow in the Bible, just a little side note here, Elisha's plowing out in the field, probably an older man, probably in his 20s, I reckon, when Elijah comes by and throws a mantle on him, you don't hear from him for 10 years.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
10 years, he's in the ministry. You don't hear nothing from him. What's he doing? Hanging out with an old preacher, hanging out with an old prophet. The Bible says he's pouring water over his hands.
Yeah, amen.
These guys nowadays, they don't know trying to take care of individuals and trying to learn something from the old guy. They come out of school and say, I'm ready to run. 10 years, you don't hear nothing until that old preacher's ready to pass off the scene, and then the Lord's ready to move Elisha. That's another message. That's free of charge, no extra money for that one. The Bible says this. He said, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. It's too small. Lay fixing to have a building program like y'all are here. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thee hence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. I like the fact they asked the preacher before they just went out to doing it. It's funny how that, I'll run that rabbit. I'll get in some serious trouble. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So when he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. I'm going to ask my friend, and has been a mentor to me for a number of years, Brother Bobby and Miss Memory, have prayed for me for years and years and years. Had our names on rocks up there on the mountaintop for a long time.
Amen.
And has given me opportunities to preach and has watched out for me and that kind of a thing. I'm going to ask him to pray, if he would, please, and ask him to bless the message tonight.
Our Father, we come to thee in the name. Thank you, Lord. Which is above every name. Yes. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad, God, I have access to the throne room of grace. I'm glad, God, when you saved us, by the grace of God, you opened heaven to us and said, come boldly before the throne of grace that we may receive help in a time of need. And this is a time of need for your servant. He stepped forth to take in hand the pure words of the living God, seeking to expound an eternal truth that would be a very benefit to every soul gathered here. I ask you, our Father, that you may open our hearts under this great truth, God, that we may behold it. Not only behold it, but grasp it, receive it, take it within, meditate on it. And Lord God, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto that great and glorious day when you will come and take us home to be with you. And now, Lord, we're still here and we're in a battle. There's a warfare on every hand, God, and we need a touch from that. We need, Father, some fresh bread from the oven of God tonight. That help us as a people of God to walk right and walk upright before you and bring glory unto the name of the Son of the living God before an evil and an ungodly world, that they may see something our Father would cause them to desire to want what we have. So I ask you to anoint Brother Dave in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Liberate him, our Father. Illuminate his mind and his heart unto the things of thee, Lord. And let God speak to him that we may hear and understand, God, what you desire of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pick it up, if you will, please, in verse number 2. The Bible said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan. And take thence every man a beam. Let us make a place there that we may dwell. Can I ask you a question? Are they doing anything wrong? I'm asking you, I'm not just preaching at you, I'm asking you a question. Are they doing anything wrong? Would you agree with me, for the sake of the message here, would you agree with me that they have done everything they can to seek the Lord, to find out what God wants them to do.
Right.
And they realize, hey, man, our church is growing, our school is growing, and we need a place to be able to spread out a little bit. And so they go check their attitude. They find out whether or not they're moving in the right direction. Say, hey, preacher, we want to ask you a question. It's getting kind of cramped in here, kind of small. What you think about us going down there by the Jordan River and building us another place that's got a little bit of room to it? And the preacher says, you know, I think that would be a good idea. And they say, well, wouldn't you like to go with us? And he said, you know what? I believe I would. I'd get excited to see you guys kind of catching on to what's going on. You got a bigger vision for what's ahead of you. And you can see growth coming. And so I think that'd be a great idea. There's nothing better for an old preacher than to see a young preacher grab a hold of God and see God start working in that young preacher's life and do it in the confines the way that it ought to be done. But let me give you this word of caution. Just because you're doing right doesn't mean the devil won't derail you.
Right.
Just because you're doing right doesn't mean the trouble and trials won't befall you.
That's right.
And for you as a Christian, the thing you got to be the most careful about is when you are doing right, to make sure you stay right in the doing right.
Amen.
Yeah.
He is not doing anything wrong. They're doing what God wants them to do. Matthew chapter 14, the apostles are told by the Lord, get in that boat, go to that side of the lake over there, and I'll catch up with y'all later on. Mm-hmm. By the time they get in the middle of that lake over there, the worst storm they have seen since he was with them before comes upon them. In the perfect will of God, doing exactly what God said to do. In the same boat God told them to get into, and the boat's fixing to go down.
Yeah.
Don't ever get the mistaken idea that because you're doing what God wants you to do, that means there ain't going to be no storms in life.
Yeah.
It means there ain't going to be no trouble in life. But let me say this, with the axe head of a responsibility or of a burden comes a grave responsibility to make sure that that axe head stays attached to that handle.
Amen.
And it is incumbent upon us to make sure that we're the one that checks the axe head. God doesn't come to you and say, hey, that axe head's coming loose.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
That axe head, for the sake of this sermon tonight, is not representative of your salvation, because you can't lose your salvation. Now that you're saved, you can't lose your salvation, but you can sure lose your fellowship.
Right. Yep.
He is like the old preacher said not long ago, a matter of fact, today at the table, you can still have the authority and not have the power.
Amen.
Because the axe head can come off, because you don't stop to say, you know what, the most important thing for me doing, more important than felling another beam, is to make sure that that fellowship is the way that it ought to be. You know what, generally speaking, now I don't know about around here, but I was raised in the mountains in Tennessee, and we used to have axes, and we used a lot of them more than we did chainsaws and those kind of things. And I think my dad, I mean, the chainsaws wasn't around. I mean, I am old, but I ain't that old. They did have chainsaws. But my daddy figured if I could get in trouble with a handsaw, chainsaws would be a very dangerous thing. A handsaw operated something with teeth on it. To him, then my hands just wasn't making sense to him. He knew something was going to get hurt, so he gave me an axe. In those days, they had hickory handles, a good handle, and axe handles are good. What oak it was, hickory handles, and you'd get that axe, and then you put that head on there, and then you bang the bottom of that axe down until that head comes on. Is that how we do it?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
But then you get these little tiny, either wooden or metal wedges.
Yeah, man.
And what you do is you get that thing and you hold it there, and then you get a hammer and you drive that wedge down in there, and that holds that axe in snug. Because there ain't nothing worse than to put that axe in a tree like that, and then that handle be wobbling around while you're trying to get it back out of there. And man, does it make your teeth rattle when you hit that thing if that head's loose.
Yeah.
But one of the things you better do is constantly check that little tiny thing.
Amen.
Because that little tiny thing is all that stands between you and that axe head coming off. Here's my first point. Usually when we lose the axe head, it's over some tiny little thing. It ain't a big thing. It ain't like the tree fell on the guy. It's not like, you know, hey, we're out here and we got attacked by the Philistines or by the Amalekites or the Jebusites or the Perizzites or any of them other ites and that kind of a thing. Nothing like that took place. All that happened was a little tiny thing came loose and caused the whole axe head to come off, and it was unrecoverable when it came off. It was going to require something supernatural. Can I say this to try to help you? Listen, the devil can't make you bad. He'll make you busy. And he'll make you so busy, you don't check the little things. And before long, those little things will all of a sudden create such a problem for you that the axe head's gone. But you're so busy, you don't even realize the weight of that axe head is now off. And all you do is just keep making a whole bunch of noise and beating a bunch of bark off the trees, but ain't no trees coming down. And the Lord's saying to you, hey, when was the last time you checked out to find out whether or not there was a little thing that's fixing to come between you and your axe head coming off? I was raised in the South, and I know, and I talked about it a little bit last night, but I know sometimes what can go on when you get something going with another person, another Christian or something. It can get stuck in your cross and in your craw, and it can be just a tiny little thing. And the next thing you know, what'll happen? You're out of church. You're mad. You're frustrated. You're irritated. You're agitated because some jackleg dud come in and dud something like pulled in your parking space.
Amen. Preacher.
Independent Baptists, they're the nicest people in the world unless you sit in their seat. You know, I mean, everybody has a seat, and then you have revival, and you have a visitor that don't know what the pecking order is. And so they come in, and they sit down, and it's like, they must not know who I am. Visitor comes in, and you've been practicing all week long, and all of a sudden the preacher says, hey, we're going to have so-and-so sing for them. It's like, what? I've been practicing for this thing. They come walking in here, and they're going to have them up here to sing. I mean, who do they think they are? Come blowing in here and all that. Maybe the Lord's just checking your oil. You just got a tiny little thing. It gets better, but let me get past this.
Yeah, man.
The churches I have been in and the splits that I have been involved in, have been a part of because of things that have happened, have never been over doctrinal issues. They've always been over a little thing, blowed up to a big thing, and a bunch of people running around with axe handles like gang members, knocking the bark off all the trees and stuff. And in the meantime, ain't nobody doing nothing but getting bruised and battered, but nothing's getting done. I remember in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, I remember they go get the cart over there, and they put that ark up on that cart. Remember that? And that ark sitting up there on that cart, and when it gets going, all of a sudden the Bible says the ox stumbled. It must have been a little twig or a stick or something in the road. And the thing wobbled just a little bit. And as a result, you know what happened? Uzzah reaches out there and touches him. God pops him right on that spot and drops him in his tracks. Which reminds me to say, you can be in the ministry, you can be in the pulpit, you can be playing a piano, you can be playing a string, you can be teaching a Sunday school class, you could be doing all those things and be just as dead as 4 o'clock over some little thing. People tell me all the time, preacher, they want to see real revival, but the fact of the matter is, they don't want to call the baby ugly. The truth of the matter is that we don't want to face up that the reason we don't see revival is us. It ain't because the preacher don't have it in his suitcase. It's not because the singing ain't good. It ain't always the preacher's fault. Sometimes it's the fact of the matter that we don't want to sit down and have a face-to-face with God and have God tell us, hey, you are the problem. You've got a little thing in your life that is keeping you from enjoying the exuberance, the excitement that you can find in Jesus. But you know what? You've got some little thing stuck in your craw.
Come on, preacher.
And you're grieving the Holy Ghost. You're backing the Holy Ghost. You're praying the Holy Ghost. And you're saying, I want to have revival, then you need to get that little thing taken care of. Drop the wedge down in there and tighten up that thing so that it can do what it's intended to do. Otherwise, you know what else can guarantee it happen? You can't lose your salvation. Boy, you lose your fellowship with the Lord, and man, I'm telling you, there ain't no drier desert in the world. There is nothing worse than going to church, man, and I mean, it's just like fingernails on a chalkboard, like grinding. Everybody that sings, it's just like, man, it's driving you insane. Everybody trips your trigger. You're like walking on eggs all the time. There is nothing worse than having the axe head gone.
You're right.
You're generally speaking, it really is some little thing.
Yeah, amen.
When was the last time you just checked to see? You know, sometimes as preachers, you don't even really realize. You think, well, I'm preaching so much, and I'm preaching 3 times or 4 times on Sunday, and a couple of times during the week, and so the axe head must be attached. This boy was so busy, he didn't even realize it was loose until it come off and splashed in the water. I don't know how many trees he knocked the bark off of before he realized something ain't right here. Because it is possible to continue in motion without having the power attached to business.
Amen.
I mean, haven't we all been guilty? Help me to get done so much better. Listen, haven't we all been guilty of just going through the motion, going through the motion? Well, that's just what we do. I was at a meeting in Alabama one time, and a guy came. It was one of them long meetings. It ran Sunday to Sunday, a stretch. We don't usually do them, especially not nowadays. This is a long meeting, running this thing. For y'all started Sunday, running through Friday. That's a long meeting for most people nowadays. But this was a Sunday to Sunday, and he come. We had morning meetings and evening meetings. I mean, they were slap out. He'd come out of the field, he'd sit back in the back, and then he'd leave. He'd go work the field, then he'd come back in, and he'd get his supper, and he'd come back and be there in the evening time. And at the end of that meeting, he come by the door. Back in them days, you shook everybody's hand when they come out the door. How are you? Nice to see you. They lie to you. That was a good sermon. You know, appreciate that. You know, that, you know, they lie on the way out. That's funny.
Great.
And he come by and he said, I said, sir, I just want to say thank you. I've noticed you've been here for every day of the meeting. And I said, I really appreciate it and appreciate you coming. He says, what we do around here. I said, sir, he goes, what we do around here. I said, what do you mean what we do around here? He goes, what's what we do? You have a meeting, you go to meeting. So I realized right then he wasn't coming for the preaching. He wasn't coming for the singing. He wasn't coming. He was coming for his reputation. But you know what I know? I know some people are in church right now because it's just what we do around here.
Come on,
I'm going to church. I don't have an axe head attached. I mean, I've got a spirit that'll cut you to shreds. I've got a gossiping tongue. I've got a funny way of looking at things. I'm irritated and agitated and frustrated all the time. I mean, hey, I'm telling you right now, we don't even stop to say, you know something, maybe possible. Possibly there might be something wrong with me.
Amen.
And let me just tell you this, whoever it is that tripped your trigger,
amen, preacher,
they ain't as worried about it as you are.
Right.
You need to realize you don't need to take medication while they on vacation. Amen. Yep. They're not worried at all. You are mad as a hornet. They're going home and sleeping and having them a time and all that kind of stuff. They don't even know that anything's going on because you don't matter to them.
Great.
But all of a sudden, boy, I mean, you're mad. You're losing sleep. Your belly's in an uproar, man. I mean, you are upset. You're mad as a snake. You walk in the door. You can't have church because they're here.
Come on.
Even tonight, some of you are like, I ain't saying amen.
Yeah.
I ain't because John's sitting over there. Bless God, John, I got a place for him. I might have buried a hole out there. I've got a little grass over there right now, but I'm planning one day to get him out there and just kind of help him along the way, amen, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Go ahead, brother.
You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, I'm from the South, and a lot of times the problem with our axe head is not really that we're too busy. It's we're too bitter. I mean, we mad. We won't give them what God gave us. I'm for this. I'm for only forgiving them as much as God's forgiven you.
Amen, preacher.
I'm for only showing them the amount of grace that God showed you.
Amen.
I realize reputation gets in the way, and I realize there are some idiots in the ministry doing some stupid things and all that other kind of stuff. But just stop for a second and realize, but by the grace of God, there you would go.
Amen.
I mean, I've done some crazy stupid things, especially when I was younger, and some older preachers just like, well, he's an idiot, he don't know no better, and we'll just kind of try to help him out because maybe he might amount to do something down the line. God knows he can't do no worse.
Amen.
But I want to try to help you tonight just because it's been on my heart all day. That what happens in a small town, will you listen to me for a second? A church develops a reputation. And everybody in the town knows the people in that church because it's a small town. And if that church takes on the attitude, you got to be like him.
Come on.
You got to do what they do.
Preach.
They put hate on you and hating and doing this kind of deal. If that develops, and what'll happen when new people begin to come in the community and start looking for church, you got a King James Bible, and you believe the Bible, and you preach the Bible, and you do the things that are right to do doctrinally, and they say, boy, I'd like to go there, and somebody will sit down by them at dinner table and say, where are you going? I'm going over at Hopewell. Yeah, you probably don't want to go over there. Them's the hatingest people you ever seen.
You know, right, man.
Come on, preacher.
Got the King James Bible. Straight as a stinking rifle, but mean as a snake.
Yeah.
Now, y'all ain't been that way to me, but I am telling you this. I've been around small towns.
Right.
I've been around none of our churches are big, so don't take what I'm about to say the wrong way. We're a small church compared to like Southern Baptist churches and all that's got hundreds of people, and they do everything. They do everything in the world to get them to come. This ain't the message. This is free.
Preach.
Those people are being bought off to sit there behind on a pew, so they're getting there because they got some kind of a program or pizza or ping pong or other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All we as independent Baptist preachers have to offer is the Bible.
Amen.
And that's how you folks are.
Preach. Preach.
But just because we got the Bible don't mean we got to be mean.
That's right. Amen.
If you
that's
get right. that attitude, the people in
Good
the town
preach.
Get to
preach.
Knowing, oh yeah, you go over there, they're going to be hating on you.
Go ahead, preacher.
Family-run church. Everybody knows it.
Preach.
Go ahead.
A fellow called me one time not long ago, a couple years at most. He's down there in Georgia. He called. He says, you got a school? I said, little one. And he said, you got some guys down there ready for the ministry? I said, well, I don't know about that. What do you need? He said, well, we need a preacher. I said, okay, for what? You got a meeting or something like that? And he said, no, we need us a pastor. I said, okay. I said, I need to ask you a couple of questions. He said, well, just find out if there's anybody that's interested. I said, well, not until I ask you a couple of questions.
Come on.
All right. And he said, well, okay. And I said, how many pastors have you had in the last 5 years? He said, why would you ask that? And I said, why wouldn't you answer that?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, preacher.
He said, four, but I don't think that has any bearing on the matter. I said, number two. Does the man that's in the church, is there a man in your church that owns the property the church sits on or pays for the building that it sits on?
Mm-hmm. All right.
He said, why would you ask that? I said, because I'm from the South. And I'll guarantee you that everybody in that town knows who owns that property, and you think you own the preacher, and that's why you've had four in 5 years. I said, am I talking to that man?
Amen, preacher. Preach.
Well, if I'm on the phone, he can't shoot me over the telephone.
Preach.
I said, sir, with all due respect, I wouldn't dare send somebody up there that's got a family and they've got a job down here and they're already working and they're a part of a church down here. I wouldn't send them up there to run through your preacher mill just so you could say you had a pastor, brag to everybody in the town you got a pastor, because everybody in that town already knows as long as you're there, you ain't going to never have a church.
Yeah.
You say, what happened? He lost his axe head. That guy started and with the original right intent. He had the money and he wanted to get a church going and that kind of thing. But it wasn't long before he started listening to other voices.
Yeah,
when your axe head comes off, you better be assured the devil's going to come in there and start saying, well, you should go over here. You should go over there. The devil will convince you the problem's not you. You're going to keep on swinging that axe head and hell freezes over. You're going to keep on swinging that axe handle. Keep on swinging that axe handle. The devil's saying, it's not you, the problem. You're not the problem. It's them. It's them. It's him. It's her. It's over there. They didn't do this and they didn't do that. And they're so-and-so and they're this and that and the other. And you're just whamming and whamming and banging and banging. And the Lord's going, hey, you need a revival. There's people in this town that need a real revival.
That's right.
But their axe head came off. You couldn't convince them with a convincing machine. Boy, I'm telling you right now, you couldn't convince them. You need to have a revival. It's like, what's wrong with me? I'm Holy Ghost filled. You're filled with something, but it ain't holy.
Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Amen.
I promise you it gets better. I hope this is helping you.
Amen.
But it's where we live. A lot of times what happens is we like chickens. Y'all ever raise chickens? You ever look at what chickens eat? Oh, it got quiet there, so y'all must have looked at what chickens eat. Chickens eat whatever's on the ground, including their own poop. That'll ruin your chicken dinner. That'll ruin your eggs in the morning. But they do. That's the truth of the matter. And then when they fly, they don't hardly get more than a couple feet off the ground. Because they spend all their time looking around and hunting and pecking and picking up stuff that should have been discarded and let go a long time ago. And I don't need to be crude with you, ladies and gentlemen, but that's what a lot of Christians do.
You
spend all your time picking up stuff that should have been discarded. And then you're wondering, how come you ain't mounting up with wings of an eagle? You're wondering why you're up, because your head's down and you're just always trafficking in all this trash that should have been let go. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God it's under the blood.
Yeah,
but listen, now that it's done that for you, get out of everybody else's business too.
Yeah.
I don't believe just because I came from being a policeman that now that I'm a preacher, I'm supposed to be a Baptist policeman.
Yeah.
I'm the church policeman running around. Did you see so-and-so? She's down there at Walmart. Did you see what she had on? Why, wicked old hussy, man. I can't even believe that. She had her hair all flipped around. That had on some kind of new shoes down there. I don't know what she is trying to attract. I reckon she is trying to attract you because she did.
Amen.
You can't wait to let everybody know you're going to sit over there and get your little snap, you know, shot, get your little snap and then post that thing out there. Yeah. I don't know. She calls herself a Christian.
Amen.
Preach. How would you like somebody following you around all the time? Baptist police trying to figure out how it is you're living. I got a Holy Ghost in me. He tells me how I live. I don't need somebody running around taking a selfie of me or something. I can't even go there.
Preach.
A selfie.
Yeah.
You're grinning like a possum eating nanners. Through barbed wire. A selfie. If we did that when I was growing up, they would have said there was something wrong with it. They'd have put us in a straitjacket and give us Lorazine. They would have called us conceited somethings.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's normal. Everybody takes pictures of themselves.
Yeah, right.
You ever realize what a deal that is? That's not, that's crazy.
Amen.
Picture me. Why? Because I look so good. This is my best side. I don't understand that.
Good preaching.
But let me ask you this. Isn't that true that sometimes when our axe head comes off, we become critical of other people?
Amen.
What we do is we use the handle without the edge on it, and all we do is just beat the bark off the trees. And we do a lot of damage. I know the Word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. I understand that.
Amen.
But sometimes the sword is used for defense. Did you ever stop to think where you would be if it wasn't for God through the Holy Ghost telling you and giving you some convictions about how you look and what you do? Have you ever gone back to what you did, ladies and gentlemen, when you were 18 years old? Would you like somebody to run the tape back on you?
Thank you.
Easy to forget that when you start looking at other ones. I'm like, well, my God, man, I don't know what in the cat here. I saw him at a little round circle, and he thinks he's fooling somebody. Thinks he keeps his change back there.
Come on.
I know what he's doing with that. He's carrying that Copenhagen back there, that back pocket. Yeah. Stole. I mean, he says he ain't, but I still see the ring. What you looking at his hind end for anyhow? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. If you a man,
we worried about you.
Bigger picture of what it is we're doing. We're supposed to be cutting down beams to build a building to make more room for more people.
Yeah.
But when we lose the action, we all of a sudden begin to turn all of our energy and all of our focus on everybody else. That's one of the indicators that we've lost the action.
Amen.
The vision is gone.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. The old preacher used to say, don't ever lose your W. Because if you lose the W, it says here there is no vision. Mm-hmm. And the people perish. Mm-hmm. One of the indicators is you develop a critical spirit. Mm-hmm. And an axe handle can hurt. I mean, it can do some damage. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't put you out of your misery. It just makes you more miserable.
That's right.
I don't want to be swinging the axe handle in the name of Jesus and doing nothing but hurting people.
That's right. That's
exactly I've hurt people.
Amen, preacher.
Unfortunately,
amen.
Done some dumb, stupid thing. God should have killed me.
Right.
Amen.
My wife was listening to a thing. She said, today she called me on the phone. We just got through eating lunch and we got back up there and she called me. She said, I want you to hear something. And I said, okay, are you okay? She said, I'm fine. I want you to hear something. I said, okay, well, what is it? She said, well, just listen a minute. She put her phone on speaker and she turned and put in this cassette that was done back in like 1999 or something. And there's this idiot on there hollering and screaming. I mean, gears are stripped, slap out, talking so fast. I mean, he is against everything. And it is alive. He's killing it and resurrecting. I mean, going to town and I'm on the phone like that. I said, I've heard enough. And she goes, you know who that is? I said, I do. I said, bury that tape. She said, what I thought I would do is have it transferred to a CD and send it out to everybody and say, if you didn't think at Thanksgiving you had anything to be thankful for, thank God that this guy ain't still alive. And I had a lot of zeal and I hurt a lot of people with
amen,
that.
Preacher. Amen.
Amen.
And I meant right. But it didn't negate the fact that I killed a lot of Christians. Amen. Lord dropped some lambs off, said, hey, take care of some lambs.
Yeah.
Feed my lambs, right? First order of lambs. See, I didn't realize like they're sheep, man. I treated them like they were stinking hogs with hides about that thick. I figured every one of them needed to be skinned. The preacher said, hey, you ain't got to skin a sheep but once, you'll kill it. He comes in one day and says, not literally, where's them lambs? They growed up to sheep and they producing some wool now and they're starting, you took care of them, now they're starting to take care of you. Where are they at? And all I could do was point to a bunch of hides hanging on the wall.
Amen.
Yep.
Just beat them to death with an axe handle. Oh, I'm for hard preaching.
Right, preacher.
I think it's right to preach hard, but if it can't be done with a tear in your eye and a broken heart to understand like a father has to correct the child,
that's
but
right.
Should never, ever get gratitude out of that and satisfaction.
Amen,
from it.
Preacher.
And it's
amen.
Done that way is an axe handle, and it hurts people.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to set the world on fire. I did, and then I come back for some more matches. But what's worse is I burned up a lot of people.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
I hate to say this, it's true. There's some people that were there then. I don't know where they are now.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah. I think they're out. Now they're still saved. Right. But I had that stinking bar so high, preacher.
Amen, preacher.
Man, I tried to turn them around. So the old preacher, he sat me down one time and he said, hey, can I help you with something? I said, well, if you think you can, I already know everything, but go ahead.
Come on.
No, I didn't say that. I said, sure. He said, you're not training rookies to go out on the street and catch bad guys. You're dealing with sheep.
Yep.
And he said, if you're not careful, you'll not only kill them, you'll turn them into killers.
Yep.
And they'll kill each other, and then they'll kill you.
Yep.
And he said, it's going to feel like compromise to you. But you need to learn to pull the reins in and give them time to grow.
Yeah.
You know what I have to do? I have to remind myself because I can lean that way real easy.
Right.
See, I was raised as a policeman, so I was paid to find negative behavior.
Right.
I don't look at you and go, woo, what a blessing. I'm thinking,
come on.
Burglar.
Amen.
Con artist.
Preach.
Hooker. You know what? I'm not. I had to learn that I have to now try to see the good.
Right.
And that I'm supposed to try to help the ones that are here, not hurt
that's
them
right.
and run them off too
that's
for
right.
my
yeah.
reputation. Am I making any sense to you
that's
at all?
Right. Good.
Sometimes
amen.
As Bible believers, it's like, here's a tract. You better read it and get saved. You're going to go to hell.
Amen, preacher. Come on.
Well, do you even care? Nope. I've done my job. I told you about it. My blood, my hands are clean. Go
amen.
On and go to hell,
amen.
And I don't care.
Good,
oh, preacher. It's dangerous stuff.
That's
yeah,
good.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's what happens when you lose your accent.
Yeah.
You lose your vision of why you started out in the first place. Man, I'm going to build a building, man. We're going to see people
yeah.
getting coming. And, whoo, man, I'm involved in it. Nuh-uh, man, I'm wailing away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, watch what happens in the passage. Let me try to hurry.
Great.
The Bible says this. I don't really know what the meaning of that word is. Notice what happens. The Bible says this. He says in verse number 3, and one said, be content, I pray to go with thy servants. In verse 4, he said, and so he went with them, and they cut down wood. Now watch. One was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. Here's step number 1. It bothered him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. He said, how do you know it bothered him, preacher?
Because
he cried.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
He cried because he lost something that
that's
was loaned
right.
to him. It didn't belong to him.
Yeah.
Now understand the type. When you got saved, the Lord gave you His Holy Spirit, but it don't belong to you.
Yeah.
You belong to Him.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility to keep that intact by making sure you aren't the one that loses the relationship. Can't lose your salvation. Do you understand?
Yeah.
But it's been loaned to you.
Yeah.
Anything that gets done for God is done through the power of the Holy Spirit using you to get that done. But it's done through you by Him.
Right.
So if you lose that, you know what happened? The Bible says it bothered him. He cried. When was the last time that you wept over the fact that I'm not like I ought to be with the Lord? I like being close to Him. I actually like when He tells me, you're doing wrong. You live in a time where people come to church, it's like, don't put me under conviction. Conviction is a good thing.
Amen.
It's right thing. You come to church and feel bad, that's good.
Amen.
That's the Lord saying, hey, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
And you're getting that correction. You live in a nowadays where it's kind of like churches are like McDonald's. When I grew up, McDonald's had this. I mean, when they first started doing them, they had a hamburger, a cheeseburger, fries, a milkshake, and they had Coca-Cola products. That's all they had. They were not all this other kind of stuff and a bag of chips. So that's all they had. You went in there, you went there. They didn't put the calories up there. If you're going to eat fast food, you don't need to be worried about calories. I eat fast food because I know I want to get fat. I eat it because I want to eat it. I know it's bad for me. I don't need you telling me to make me feel worse that you're eating too many calories. I knew that when I went in the place. I don't go to McDonald's to eat a salad. If I want to go there, I'll go to some farmer's market or something like that. If I'm going to McDonald's, give me a hamburger, one of them double big quarter pounder things with cheese on it, and give me a milkshake, and give me some french fries and double size it or whatever. I know it's all bad for you, but that's why I'm going there. I ain't going there for no yogurt parfait. It's fast food. It ain't no good for you. But now the churches are like that because what they found out, there's a bigger market. Oh, well, let's start breakfast. So they start with an egg McMuffin. Then they got to have a sausage biscuit. Then they got to have a bacon egg biscuit. Then they got to have pancakes. Then they have to have this and that and the other. Then it's like, well, we need to do something at lunchtime. Can't have hamburger. No more. We need to have some salad in there. And we need to have chicken. Why are you going to get chicken at a hamburger place? You can't be good at both of them things. You go to a chicken house to get chicken and a hamburger place to get a hamburger. I don't go to a steakhouse to eat seafood. And I don't go to a seafood place to eat steak.
Amen.
But when people come to church, it's kind of like, hey, what do you have in it for me? This ain't Burger King. You don't have it your way. Rainbow burger, my foot. Right. I guess that's what happens when you wind up having it your way.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
That's Burger King.
Right. Yeah.
And so what happens is people come into church and they're saying, well, I think it all. One lady came to my church and she got up and asked her to shawl tie and untied a bow tie and that kind of stuff. And I held up my hand and I said, sis, I'll talk with you after church and finish the thing. She came up with her Bible under her arm, you know, and real, you know, pious and all. She said, oh, pastor, I would like to talk to you. Rarely anybody calls me pastor. Most everybody calls me preacher or whatever else, but they don't go, pastor, I'd like to. It's like, oh boy, here we go. I said, come on back here, sister. Well, went back in the office and sat down. Can I get you some water or anything? No, I just need to speak with you. She still got a Bible curled up. And she said, I would like to know how come you're grieving the Holy Ghost of God because you're not allowing me to speak with other tongues. And I believe in the Bible says. So I said, could I ask you just one question? She said, but you certainly may. I said, do you realize you're in a chicken house? She said, I don't understand. And I said, you are in a chicken house. We don't serve hamburgers. We don't serve seafood. We don't serve parfaits and salad. We serve chicken. It might be fried. It might be broiled. It might be boiled, for all I know. It might be gizzards and livers and everything, but it's chicken. We don't have it our way around here.
Amen.
If you want to do that, there's plenty of churches, including Baptist churches, that will let you run off as long as you put money in. But if you're going to come here, you're going to have chicken. That's all we serve here. We don't serve all that other stuff. Well, I never, she said. And I said, well, I suppose not. And she went out the door, and then she got stuck like, you know, how do I get out of this thing? And I said, just walk right out that door to the parking lot. She just looked at me like this and stormed out the door. You say, what are you trying to tell me? Church is supposed to be a place where you come and realize I'm the thing that's out of sync and I need to be in sync with God. Church is not made to fit you. You're supposed to fit it.
Amen.
We need to get reprogrammed today.
Amen.
And it doesn't bother us anymore that there's no conviction. There should be conviction coming.
Right.
If the Word of God is being preached, there's going to be conviction.
Right.
You can preach Mary had a little lamb and the Holy Ghost will say, hey, he had a little ham, he ain't got you. At least the lamb was in, you ain't. What's your problem?
Yeah, right.
I mean, he can talk to you that way, right?
Right.
But it bothered him. He cried. Man, I can remember the days going to places and having God speak to me up there at Preacher Lackey's. God dealing with me up there in the gymnatorium with them blue pews and them blue pulpit and all that stuff, and coming up there with them bleachers pulled out, and go up there and God dealing with me and tears pouring off my cheek, and leaving there and coming up after that meeting's over and that old preacher get done preaching and looking down that row right there. I know you think I'm lying to you when I tell you there's puddles of tears and tear stains on them bottom row of that, them bleachers right there where people were weeping about their relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, Christian, you wouldn't be here on a Tuesday night if your constant struggle is just all this fleshly stuff. Our problem is maintaining the right kind of fellowship with Jesus Christ while we're doing what we ought to be doing.
Amen.
Because we just get in that rut. We just get in that routine. We just keep doing the same old monotonous thing. And it just gets old, and it just gets old. And the next thing you know, it's kind of like, well, I'm going to
change.
Preach. Like I'm going to the oncologist. I'm going to the dentist.
Amen, preacher.
Bother. Number two, there's not many of these.
Preach.
Look what happens in the past. It's so simple. He started crying. The Bible says this, alas, master, for it was borrowed. What did he have to do? He had to go get some help.
Yeah.
Fellas, that's hard for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for you to pick up the phone and say, preacher, I need some help. It's harder for preachers to call a preacher and say, I need some help. Will you pray for me?
Yeah.
I'm struggling right now. I'm under the juniper tree. I'm about ready to get out. I've about had all I can take. My family's coming apart. I can feel the strain, man. I'm about to go under. Hey, you fine? That's the Baptist cuss word.
Yeah.
Hey, you fine. On your tombstone will be the word fine. You lying, you're dying.
Yeah.
How you feeling? Fine. How's things going? Fine. I'm doing fine. You're lying. You ain't doing fine. I can look at your face and tell you ain't doing fine. Got an ice cream so long you, I mean, a face so long you can eat an ice cream out of a butter churn. The butter won't be in there if Brother Bobby's around, trust me. Here's the hard part. He said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Preacher, what are you telling me? He had to confess that it was gone. You know how hard that is? I think that's harder to do than getting saved.
Amen. Amen.
Especially for us Bible believers. Because we've been saved and we have the expectation that we're always walking with God.
Yeah,
right. How you doing? Me and God, we like this, boy. We doing good, man. I mean, he's speaking to me right out of the clouds, man. I mean, I walk down the road, Lord, just like Shekinah glory dripping off of me everywhere I go, man. I mean, I walk, man, angels sweeping up behind me because they don't want all the good to fall. I mean, man, we're doing really good.
Good preacher.
When's the last time that you admitted I'm not talking about trying to ask for more.
Come on.
I'm talking about getting back and saying, Lord,
I'm
admitting to you, I'm cold, I'm dry, I'm dehydrated, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm bitter, I'm about to get out, wore out,
amen.
I've had enough, I got a problem. That confession is the hardest thing to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Man, that's hard to do. You say, why? Because, man, the preacher's struggle a little bit. No, preachers can't struggle. You know that, right?
Yeah.
You can't have problems.
That's right.
I mean, you're supposed to learn how to sleep on a clothesline and eat air for supper.
Yeah.
Just trust God to bring you some ravens and some water, take care of you. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do because you're supposed to set an example. You can't be normal, Brother Mike. You can't have problems in the house and problems and nothing like that. You can't have bills to pay and stuff break down. You can't have that. You high up above everybody. And then God help him if he says, hey, Brother Bobby, what's that? Could you pray for me? I about had enough. No, not the preacher. Oh, no, not the deacon. No, not the trustee, not the pillar of the community, not the woman in the nursery. Sure not the preacher's wife.
Yep.
I mean, she's the robot. She's the machine.
Yep.
She means she's the energizer bunny. That the lazy women don't like. She always trying to tell everybody what to do.
Because
ain't nobody doing nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I ain't going there.
Amen.
Until I hit a stump, it's kind of like that ain't none of your business. So, okay, I'm pulling off of that one. I'm sure that's not true here, but in some places I have been. That better? We never get past the confession. We never get to the point of realizing we got a problem. You know what he says? Preacher, I lost it. And it was borrowed. I'm up a tree, and I ain't got no way to get out. I don't know what to do. You know what that preacher says to him? You stupid idiot! Don't you know how to rightly divide a King James Bible?
Come on, preacher.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Come on.
What's wrong with you? Hadn't you been praying an hour a day and reading 10 chapters?
Come on.
You hadn't been faithful to church? What'd you expect?
Come on, preacher.
No, I'm sorry. That was the Independent Baptist response.
Yeah, right. Amen.
You know what that preacher said? Where'd you lose it at? Well, where'd it come off at? There's a lot of depth in that statement right there. You say, why? Because you got to retrace your steps and go back and say, man, something caused me to get in that condition. Something happened. And on that way back, you're beginning to pass milestones and places along the way and say, oh, man, I see how that, oh, man, look at that. I see that. I should have known it came off there. I should have came in. And then you get back to that place right there and you go, right here.
Right here.
Right here, yes, sir. And it fell over yonder in the water. So you lost it right here? Good, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, that's right.
To get it back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
He said, right there in the water? Yeah, well, I can't quite see where it's at. Because between when it fell off and now, something's done growed up in the way.
Amen. Right.
And you can't as clearly see where it fell because there's a stick between you and it. Because when the axe head comes off, trust me when I tell you, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from going back to where you lost it, because he don't want you to have the business in. He don't care how hard you swing, how much you sweat, how busy you are, as long as you ain't cutting nothing down, he don't care, man. Wear yourself out for Jesus. Just don't be doing what Jesus wants you to do. He said, right there behind that stick. He said, yes, sir. And he takes out a knife, or his own axe, or a sword. And he cuts the stick off. But wait, he doesn't hand his stick, his knife,
amen,
to that boy. Because that boy can't swing the preacher's
amen
sword.
Amen.
That sword fits that preacher. That's why he don't hand it to him. Because you can't swing somebody else's axe. You're not gifted enough to swing that axe. Or you're gifted in a different way.
That's right.
I couldn't play one of them instruments these youngins up here play for nothing in the world.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I wouldn't even know what's a string, what this E and F sharp and all that. It looks like a mosquito or a fly landed in some ink and just put dots on a page. I don't reckon. It looks like Braille to me without the humps. Very careful to cut that thing down and throw it in the water.
Amen.
You say, why? Because you got to clear the way out before you can get back to where it was. Because after you've lost it, you trust me when I tell you something's going to come between you and it.
Amen.
Yep.
And for some of us, you know what it is? It's bitterness.
Right.
The Lord, you've showed where it fell. You know where it fell. That stick of bitterness has come up. And you ain't about to cut it out of the way to get that back. You just soon go on swinging the handle. In the meantime, some of that carnal living has crept up in your life. You're like, I ain't cutting that down. I'm enjoying that. I'm having a good time. I'm still going to church. I'm better than most. I'm better than most. I mean, I know I'm doing stuff that God would be pleased with, but hey, I'm doing better than most people. I'm still in church. Lord's like, that needs to go. You remember Bartimaeus in Mark chapter number 10? You remember what's strange is that when he finally gets ready to go to the Lord, the people are taking him. Did you ever realize that the Bible says that he threw his coat aside? You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? That's saying you got to take away whatever's standing between you and Jesus. When it comes time to get to Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to get it out of your way. You're going to have to be willing to cut it down. You're going to have to be willing to say, I don't care what it is in my life that needs to go. I want my axe head back. There's nothing more valuable to me than that axe head. Did you know a ministry can get in the way? You can get so focused on trying to have a ministry that all along the way the Lord is putting up roadblocks and roadblocks and roadblocks, and you're like, I don't care if I'm doing it without the Holy Ghost. My pride has got it now, and bless God, I'm going to take it and I'm going to run the ship in the rocks. I don't care if it destroys everything and everybody. I'm going to prove to everybody I'm called to ministry. I'm going to prove to everybody I'm a preacher. I'm going to prove to everybody I'm going to do so and so. And you know what happens? That thing begins to grow up like a bamboo wall, and now you can't even see where you lost it, and nobody can point it out to you because it's done floated all down the door. As soon as that boy lost it, he realized he lost it. He didn't just keep on doing what he was doing. He backed up and said, I need some help with this. Now watch, and I'm done. He said, we're failed. He said, right yonder. He said, well, there ain't going to be no way for you to get to it. There's something in the way. He said, preacher, I ain't got nothing to cut it down with. Preacher says, I do. Throws it in the water. Like putting it under the blood. All of a sudden, the Bible says the iron did swim. It ain't got no flippers on it.
Right.
And I don't believe that the word in the trilateral root word of that word means that it floated. It says swim. I believe it swam. I don't know how it swam with no arms or no legs, but it was.
Amen.
How does a snake swim? He ain't got no flippers. But he'll sure make you get out of the way if you're hunting and you see one coming at you. They can get across that water in a hurry. Tell me that snake's floating. That snake's swimming. And if he's swimming at me, he's fixing to be drowning.
Yeah.
The iron comes up on the bank of the river. So many key things in the passage. Elisha says, well, there it is. Boy said, I'll be jumped. Well, I never thought I'd see it. Elisha said, well, there it is. What you going to do? Look in the last part of that passage. Doesn't he tell him to pick it up?
Take it up.
You know what he says? He tells him to take it up, doesn't he, preacher? You say, why? Because nobody can pick up your axe head but you. First of all, it has to be supernaturally restored. When it swims up, you know what the Lord says? You know what he's saying to some of you tonight? There it is. Mm-hmm. What you going to do?
That's right.
I don't know if I want it back that bad. That iron came up out of that water. That boy saw that axe head floating there and tears start running down his face. Boy, he's overjoyed. And the old preacher looks down there at it and he says, well, there it is. Take it up unto you. The story ends right there. Did he take it up? They don't say. Wouldn't you agree that it'd be a horrible ending that if he said take it up and he said, yeah, no, thank you, let it sink. But some of you will do that tonight. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about your fellowship. If he did take it up, you know what I know he had to have done?
Amen. Yes, he did. Yes, that's exactly why he had to get down.
You're a fish on her. Banks of a river. You know how they do it up Tennessee where they used to do noodling and stuff, and then moccasins would get up in them banks and stuff. But when the water's there, that bank's sort of steep down there on the side. You got to be real easy unless you fix you a spot to get your boat in and stuff. You got to be, that thing drops off pretty quick. I think the Jordan, when I was there, we saw portions of the Jordan River, and that thing drops off pretty quick. That boy had to get down, and I think probably had to get down on all fours. Maybe even get all the way down on his belly and run that hand down there. Stretch out there. Maybe get it to float over to him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Got a hold of that thing and drags himself back up the mud. Just sits there for a spell. Look at that axe head. Man, who'd have thought?
Amen. Thank you.
Man,
man, I can cut down some trees now. You mean he'd give me another chance? Man, you realize what God did for me? All them other boys didn't lose their axe head, but they didn't get to experience the miracle of having it restored. I bet you he was more thankful than those. There, he's got his axe head on now. He's jumping around, boy. He's excited as he can be. I bet you he don't take more than 3 swats and he's stopping that thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep.
He probably goes out and gets him some of that orange barrier stuff, you know, and stretches it between him and the Jordan there.
Yeah.
Puts it all up in the trees and everything like that. He might even tie a string on there to that axe head and tied it off to his belt loop because he's thinking, I ain't losing that thing again.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
I bet you he got real careful.
Yep, that's exactly
to make sure it stayed intact. I like to finish the story in a positive way. I like to think he got down there and got it and never lost it again. He got the wood chopper's award at the end of the building for felling the most trees. Because he worked with a fervor he had never had before. Because he kept stopping to check my axe head intact. That's revival for a Christian. It's just getting reunited with somebody that's just gotten a little loose. You know, just kind of taking it for granted. It's still attached, but it's just starting to wiggle a little bit. And the Lord's used a meeting in the first week of December, the week following Thanksgiving, to just simply say to you, why don't you just check?
Amen.
Why don't you just check before you lose it?
Thank you, Lord.
Why don't you just check? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you.
Yes.
For the privilege of preaching. Thank you for allowing us time and time and time and time again opportunities and chances and letting us get our fellowship restored. Thank you, God, that we can't lose our salvation. God, forgive me when I've been so busy doing things that I haven't checked the business end of my axe head. God, help me even tonight as we are gathered here together and we're praying to check up just to make sure it's still as tight as it ought to be. Help these folks, help this church. Thank you, God, for this privilege. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.